Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Welcome to our service of worship on this Palm Sunday. Today marks the beginning of Holy Week, an emotional and spiritually enriching walk with Jesus through the last days of his life, to the cross, and ultimately to the empty tomb on that first Easter Sunday. We pray that this service of worship will inspire and speak to your heart this day. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Dear friends, God is with us. As we connect here today with open hearts, the presence of Christ surrounds and affirms us. We are one in this divine embrace of spirit. As we open our hearts for worship, let us take a moment and offer to God the things that we've said and done that we wish to confess.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This is the collect for the day. Almighty and ever-living God, in tender love for all our human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take our flesh and suffer death upon a cruel cross. May we follow the example of his great humility and share in the glory of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 31, verses 9 to 16. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant and save me in your steadfast love.
Reading from the Philippians 2:5-11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew 27, beginning at the 11th verse. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But Jesus gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was truly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they all shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, this man is calling for Elijah. At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, truly, this man was God's son. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. And so we come to Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, and our walk with Jesus to the cross on Good Friday and to the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. Holy Week is a deeply emotional experience for those who walk it day by day, and it's really the most important week on the Christian calendar. Now, we've been walking through some dark times lately. Our world has been rocked by the coronavirus. And we found that for the good part of our season of Lent, we've been in our homes waiting. Waiting for good news. Waiting for this horrible and scary time in our history to pass. I read on Facebook the other day, there was a meme and it said, "This is the Lentiest Lent I've ever Lented." And, you know, that's true. This has been Lent. The season of Lent has always been one of sacrifice for many people. And in these times, that is no exception. Our families are home. Our schools are suspended. People are in virtual lockdown. Workers are without jobs and income. Streets have been deserted, and the stores are mostly closed. It's unprecedented. We've never experienced anything like this in our lifetime. And we lock our doors in fear of the silent stalker that's taken so many lives. We've been brought to our knees in prayer as we look for strength and divine assistance. We are, of course, mindful of blessings, of the bright rays of hope that shine through. We celebrate the heroes. We offer thanks for those brave first responders, for the nurses and doctors and medical people across the globe who run to help and relieve distress. But we can't help thinking about those lives that have been lost, or about those who have the virus, or the families who have been forever changed because of it. It's been a very tough time. In the midst of all the sadness and fear, we come to this turning point of Lent. We today are at the gates of Jerusalem. We find Jesus and his friends ready to go into the city of Jerusalem for Passover. He's on a donkey. He's surrounded by his disciples. And you know, I can't help but think of the journey that brought him into this world, with his mother riding into Bethlehem on a donkey, looking for a place to settle, anxious. Here she delivers her firstborn. And that child who was delivered was a gift to the world. Now here on this Palm Sunday, there's another plan playing out. In spite of the celebration of this moment, Jesus is about to be delivered to those who would end his life. So we all stand at that gate ready to meet Jesus on this day of days. We stand with the crowds excited to see him as palm branches are thrown on the ground as a sign of respect, a sign of greeting royalty, actually. There are shouts of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They greet him as a healer, as the son of David, as the deliverer of God's people. Here is the Messiah himself riding into their town on a donkey. That day, Jesus is like a rock star. He is a celebrity, and everyone, especially the disciples, cannot help but feel affirmed and happy. They greet him, and it's Passover. It's a party. They're coming in on a huge tide of goodwill. It just can't get any better than this, they think. But we know what's to come. We know that those cries of Hosanna will soon turn to cries of crucify him. We know that those palm branches will soon turn into whips and scourges. On this Sunday, even before the glow of those jubilant cries fade, we hear the gospel recalling his arrest and death. I think of those people on that first Palm Sunday. They needed a Messiah. They needed a Savior. They were so restricted in their lives under Roman occupation, caught up in a myriad of religious laws. They were watched by the Roman soldiers, scrutinized by Sadducees and Pharisees. They were burdened by taxes. They were overwhelmed by the harsh conditions of their lives. But one thing sparked joy in their hearts. They heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and they longed to meet him, to see him, and to hear his gentle words. Now, we can relate. We long to see Jesus, too. And these past few weeks have been frightening. We've heard stories of doctors and nurses sleeping in their garages, being lent trailers to be away from their families so that they don't take the virus into their homes. We've seen the footage of huge hospital ships deployed to New York, to California, a site usually reserved for disaster areas. We've experienced supply shortages. We've seen the ugly side of human nature as people hoard or try to sell sanitizer or toilet paper at a huge profit. These are extraordinary times, and for many, they are hard and they are lonely times. It might feel like we've been living Good Friday for several weeks now, but we do know the end of the story. We know the power of God to overcome everything, even death. We know that the power of God's love is so great that nothing can separate us from it. No thing, nothing. As we enter Holy Week, we are given the chance to reflect on our lives and deepen our faith. We look to Jesus, who shows us by his life, his actions, and teachings the way through our current time of challenge. His words come to us. Do not judge. Love your God. Love our neighbors. Love ourselves. But we feel so much anger. This week I've been very irritable and angry. We feel so much anger boiling inside of us as we hear the news, as we look to this global pandemic. And as we cope with it all, what it means to us. Our faith may waver, can be tested during times like this. So what do? We look to Jesus. Who better to understand? Who better to know the kinds of trials that we face? Because he knows. Jesus had moments of testing too. He was tested by Satan in the wilderness, in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asks, please, let this cup pass. As he hung on the cross, as he struggled for breath, overwhelmed by pain, he cried out to God from the cross, why have you forsaken me? Jesus understands our times of wilderness and doubt. But he also knows that there is a bigger plan at work, one that would show us that our faith is not without foundation. There's a line in one of the Eucharistic prayers, I think it's prayer number 2 in the Book of Alternative Services, and it says, you stretched your arms on the hard wood of the cross, and you won for you a holy people. We have been won by Christ. We have been claimed as his own. We have been saved by his love, made heirs to the eternal kingdom of his Father. He's there for us in the tragedy and in the triumphs. He's there for us when we're uncertain of our path, reminding us that we are not alone. He is there when we need forgiveness, when we're overwhelmed by grief and anger and weariness. He's with us in the boat as storms rage. He's our anchor, our center, and he's waiting for us, all of us, with open arms. He doesn't have to practice social distancing. We have a roller coaster of a holy week ahead and likely a hard week in our world. Remember, there's much to celebrate. We will be reminded of a way to meet Jesus in the bread and wine. We'll be given a new commandment to love each other. And we're given a promise that we are never alone, that Jesus, our good shepherd, will go and prepare a place for us to show us that we need not fear. And at the end of this roller coaster week, the tomb stands empty. The Lord is risen. Good Friday always gives way to this Easter proclamation. The Lord is risen. Hallelujah. And that, my friends, is what we know to be true. Jesus lives. God's promises to us are fulfilled. Christ's own forever. So in the midst of these hard times, look for the blessings, the reassurances, the ways in which our loving Heavenly Father is answering your prayers and pulling you through. In the midst of the challenges these days, shine your light. In the midst of these Lenten days, hold on to hope, lean on Jesus. Put a candle in your window. Hold a cross. Spend time reading the Gospels. Offer daily prayers for everyone you love and send angels to work in the world. We will get through this. We will rejoice and we will be reunited with our families and friends once more. We will hear kids playing in the yard, in the playgrounds, and we will go into the stores without fear. But it's one day at a time. All things are possible. Wait for news of the empty tomb. Good news comes. Amen.
Time of intercessory prayer. With confidence and trust, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the one holy Catholic and apostolic church throughout the world, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace in the world, that a spirit of respect and reconciliation may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, Reverend Charlene and Father Philip, Archbishop Deb, Bishop Jean, Archdeacon Jeanette and her daughter Melissa and family, Kywin, Phyllis and Pat, Val, Reverend Patricia and Dave, Reverend Jane and Dino, Reverend Sherry and daughter Laura and husband, for Kay, Chris, Tricia, D and J, Reverend Carol and Wayne, George, C, John, Diane, Laura, Nancy, Sherry, Paul, Christine, Mia and family, D, A, Sharon, D, Lawrence, Jess, Rob, Martin, Betty, Tom, Lisa, Cheryl, Ken's brother, Reverend Charlene's brother and sister-in-law, Robert and Denise, to all over the world who are sick and being treated for the coronavirus, their families and loved ones, and the other and any others known to us, to those who have died, Reverend Jody, and to those who have passed on due to complications of the coronavirus all over the world, for the refugees, the prisoners, and all in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace to amend our lives and to further the reign of God, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are in communion with each other and all with the Creator. We are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too, spiritually fed, in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us in this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with everyone you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.